Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This past week, the city of Chicago announced the completion of the more than a decade-long O'Hare modernization program that changed the very shape of the big, busy airport. But that doesn't mean the construction crews are heading for the departure lounge. There's a lot more on the horizon for O'Hare, and we'll also find out what's up at Midway, too. This weekend, it's a conversation with Chicago's Commissioner of Aviation, Jamie Ree. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Remember when $6 billion sounded like a lot of money? Well, that was the investment for the O'Hare Modernization Program, a literal airport reconfiguration. Here to talk about the finish of the OMP, the future of Chicago airports and more, is Aviation Commissioner Jamie Ree. Now, if bringing the OMP to a conclusion and running the airports through some tough times were the only things Ms. Ree has done, it would be a pretty good record. But she has a laundry list of accomplishments. In fact, it might seem as if the only thing she hasn't done for the city is run the laundries. Jamie Ree was Chicago's chief procurement officer before she took over the airports, so she presided over all of the contracting. She also worked for the aviation department before that. She was the general counsel, the top lawyer for the O'Hare Modernization Program. She's worked for the city's law department and the Department of Planning. She's also been a deputy chief of staff to the mayor. We are conducting this interview via Zoom conferencing. And finally, Jamie Ree, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks for having me.
Well, now, can you, the program has come to its conclusion. Such that it is. Can you briefly explain the magnitude of the OMP? I mean, it's really expanded O'Hare by quite a bit.
Absolutely. And thanks, Craig. This is a 16-year, $6 billion investment that has included the construction of four new runways, extensions of two existing runways, and the construction of two new air traffic control towers, as well as many other enabling projects. Since the beginning of the OMP, system impact delays, those delays that we all remember back in the days, which are really the controllable delays to an aircraft that are a result of infrastructure constraints in this national aviation air system, have been reduced by 64% when you compare 2003-2008 to the current. So what we did, it's working.
The number of people traveling by air has taken some big hits over the last two decades. 9/11, of course, was one of those big hits. COVID caused a big drop. How does an airport system like the one that Chicago has and the aviation industry cope with that kind of a roller coaster that does seem to happen every once in a while?
Yeah, well, one thing we know is people want to travel. They need to travel. And so we are very optimistic that we will ultimately get those travelers back. But you're right, even, you know, challenges that relate to the continued COVID-19 spread, we see those challenges throughout the years, throughout the world, in fact, and a lot of countries dealing with it very differently, especially overseas. But we are now back, at least in Chicago. We have regained much of our pre-COVID service, serving all 268 overall destinations. That's seven less than in 2019, with all 197 domestic destinations in 2021, which is one more than in 2019, and 71 international, which is eight less than 2019. So we're rebounding slightly. And we're seeing that throughout the system. We're similar to other U.S. airports, and we've really seen some recent softening in the demand. You know, due to the spread of the Delta variant, which is going to be very typical for these types of years to see a reduced demand level anyway. But with the recent uptick in the spread, you know, we expect to see some more impacts. However, we're very optimistic that we're going to continue to see the recovery, especially in the domestic leisure market. We've seen a strong recovery, especially over at Midway. But O'Hare right now is operating at about 80%. Of its 2019 traffic, and Midway's much higher than that.
What's the boost for Midway?
You know, it's always relied heavily on domestic leisure travel. They're not as reliant on international travel as O'Hare. We're very lucky at O'Hare that we have such a diversification of our markets. We have a strong O&D, which is a rich origin and destination market, but we also have a large connecting volume that goes through O'Hare that never exits security, that gets on one plane and goes to another, and then as well as the balance of international. So O'Hare is about 80%, which is in line with other large hubs across the country.
Well, one thing I do want to talk about for a bit is this is also the week we observe the 20th anniversary of the tragic 9/11 terrorist attacks. That was an event that really, I think, transformed air travel and airports, and in some cases, transformed them physically. Can you talk a little bit about what you have seen over the last 20 years as far as air travel and airports are concerned?
You got so, Craig, I will tell you, I worked in the airports. My first job with the city of Chicago was as a airport information representative, where I assisted passengers in customer service and foreign languages at O'Hare. And I remember the days pre 9/11. I left O'Hare in 1999 to join the planning department. But I remember witnessing firsthand the impacts of that dreadful day and the aftermath that significantly affected air travel and what we see still today. I think what you saw immediately after 9/11 was the federalization of airport security. So prior to 9/11, airport security at those checkpoints was really a hodgepodge of contractors that was paid for by the airline partners, different in each terminal, depending on who was operating out of terminals. And so that federalization, which started under the Bush administration, really focused on creating the Department of Homeland Security, the TSA, as we know it. It didn't exist before 9/11. And then we went into looking at baggage and passenger screening. And one of the first changes that passengers noticed right away was the significant expansion in the scope and scale of the security checkpoint. In its early days, TSA deployed thousands of X-ray scanners and magnetometers to existing airport facilities, almost all of which varied on the degree of retrofitting them into it. And space that was required to accommodate all of these has really had a substantial impact across every airport. And it's felt even today. I think that then the focus went to baggage screening and looking at that. And then since 2010, DHS is really focused in primary two areas. One is a risk-based approach, which is adopting trusted traveler programs for both TSA, like your pre-check, as well as CLEAR, offering other options for international passenger processing. These programs obviously allow for a less intensive on-airport search in exchange for some passengers subjecting themselves to some, you know, further background checks. And then we looked at equipment modernization, which we still see, where technology advances have allowed automated imaging and screening to better detect those prohibited items we all know about, but also to really look and the current landscape and the current threats and be able to tailor the technology to those. And so we've seen many initial inline baggage screening deployments from the 2000s have been optimized with new machines and better conveyance systems to really increase capacity and the throughput.
How concerned are you about the ability of the, if you are, about the ability of the technology to keep up with the technology. You know, they're trying to thwart mayhem, but then there are people who are trying to use technology to cause it with hacking and things like that. Does that worry you?
You know, I will tell you that we have, from day one, we take safety and security here at the airports is our number one priority. And Mayor Lightfoot has done a tremendous job in investing in looking at those threats from every landscape possible, and including cyber technology threats that we could face, as well as the ones that we do know about, which would affect facilities. And so looking at every aspect, we're very lucky to have incredible federal partners out here and airline partners that support those initiatives. We invest in our own technology and have our own emergency systems set up in place at both airports. If COVID taught us anything, it really brought our airport family closer together. And we realized how the symbiotic relationships between all of us play an important role in maintaining safety and security at both of our airports. We also have very lucky to have Chicago Police Department as our designated law enforcement agency out here, and Chicago Fire as well. So we are ever vigilant. We will never let our guard down. We can never rest on any of our successes, and we have to plan for the worst. And that's what we continue to do, is make sure that we are looking at every aspect of our organization across both airports to ensure that safety is paramount above all.
Do you expect that there will be more technology? I mean, you talked a little bit about this, that it is evolving. What do you see as the next step in what we may see out at O'Hare? Because, you know, every once in a while we'll see a new or a different machine. Sure. What's down the pike?
You know, I think looking at throughput and how to, again, exchange some of these programs that require some background vetting for you to be able to ease up on some of the restrictions at the checkpoint. So I think we'll see a further diversification of that, perhaps enhanced screening and continuing down that way, but also biometrics. We are looking at biometrics now and working with our Customs and Border Protection officials out here for the international screening. So I think we'll continue to see more automation of systems and less paper. Printing out that boarding pass, a lot of folks now have it right on their phone. But I think we're gonna continue to see innovations that way. And then the technology is gonna keep evolving and just keep getting better, with the focus on safety and security first, but also efficiency of travel, and making sure, again, that we can accommodate that recovery when it returns.
You know, we talk so much about the security part, but the airports are a lot more than that. Is the next frontier on the actual concessions and things like that, the things inside the airport, how's that going to change?
Sure. Well, I will tell you, through COVID, and we are very thankful and eternally grateful for our airline partners for negotiating the 2018 Airport Use and Lease Agreement, which funded $8.5 billion of very sorely needed infrastructure improvements to O'Hare. Once the airfield was done, we now have turned to the facilities. And so during COVID, we actually accelerated some work, especially as it relates to T5, where the construction is most visible. All the structural steel has been laid in June for the 10 new gates that will be added on to T5. We're adding approximately 350,000 square feet to the existing facility, which, you know, opened in 1993. I was actually here right after it opened, that facility. So to see these very sorely needed improvements to that building, we've made significant progress. But I will tell you that no one knows the power of procurement more than Mayor Lightfoot understands that how these can provide job opportunities and capacity building for our small, diverse communities of businesses. I spent 10 years, as you said, as the chief procurement officer, so I get to witness firsthand the programs and bid incentives and policies that were put in place by the city council to make sure that we were diversifying and providing opportunities. So we here at O'Hare and Midway, both, we care about what's being built, and it will be built, these enhancements, but also who's building them. It's very important to us. And so we continue to look at being as inclusive as possible. And, you know, we thank Mayor Lightfoot for her commitment, but all of the mayors that I've served, Mayor Daley, Mayor Emanuel, have all cared deeply about that. The city is a benefit, or the airport is a benefit of, has the benefit of that. And so we're going to continue looking at improvements. So the next wave will be the what we call O'Hare 21, which is the terminal area plan that includes the new Global Terminal, which will eventually replace Terminal 2. Terminal 2 was 56 years old and was dedicated by John F. Kennedy. So it is in need of repair. And that need did not change with COVID. And so we have moved forward on design and are at 10% design progression with that, as well as two satellite concourses to the west of that, and then a connecting tunnel that will connect the global concourse with the two satellites. All of that is under current review by the FAA under an environmental assessment. And we've made significant progress towards that project as well.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. We are talking with Chicago Aviation Commissioner Jamie Ree, and we are conducting this conversation via Zoom. And I want to talk a little bit more about T2 because I think people hear that it's kind of an international terminal, kind of a domestic terminal, and not quite sure what or why that is, because I don't think we've seen that much anywhere. Can you talk a little bit about the concept of T2?
Yeah, so really in negotiating the airport use and lease agreement, one of the things that we really wanted to focus on was our passenger amenities for our traveling public. And, you know, what was important for us here was that this plan is going to deliver on really four major objectives. One is going to replace these aged in facilities that are functionally obsolete, like Terminal 2, and provide operating efficiencies for both of our airlines and businesses that operate at the airport. So we will have a co-location of international arrivals with domestic gates for our hub airlines and brand new baggage handling systems in the Terminal 2. So United,
explain why you want to have international and domestic flights in the same place?
Sure. The connecting activity that happens for international traffic coming in right now, our port of entry is in Terminal 5. So if you are coming in from a direct flight from overseas, you will be processed by CBP in Terminal 5. You may be traveling on, which a lot of our traffic is. Nearly half of our domestic travel is connecting traffic, which would require you to leave and exit Terminal 5 and go to the main terminals 1, 2, and 3 to take out your next flight domestically. This new concept and our new global terminal will actually co-locate international and domestic, our hub carriers for United and Terminal 1 and American and Terminal 3. Right in the middle will be an international terminal, which will be able to facilitate their code share partners and alliance partners, as well as provide, again, that access point for coming in, never having to leave that terminal from an international flight, being processed and being able to jump on another flight very quickly. So it's much more efficient to have co-location of your international and domestic for our hub carriers.
And so, does this entail, or it seems like it would, real coordination between the airlines and the airport about what kind of flights should be in that terminal as opposed to in the regular domestic terminals?
Yep. So we are, really focused on working with our airline partners, and we couldn't have better ones. Both of them have come to the table through COVID. We have continued to make progress moving forward on some very critical, like I said, overdue infrastructure upgrades. And we meet with them continuously about what the ultimate plan will be and how it will serve their passengers and meet the needs of their traveling public, both for both of our co-chair partners, as well as all the other long-term signatories we have at O'Hare. So what we'll really have is two points of entry. So Terminal 5 will continue to process international passengers. The idea is that come next year, when the upgrades are finally done to Terminal 5 that Delta will be moving in probably sometime this year, this time next year. Delta will remove itself from Terminal 2, move over to Terminal 5, will continue operating out of there, as does Southwest, which started service in February of this year. And we'll start international service out of Terminal 5 in November to Cancun for the first time. But Terminal 2 will also be a second point of entry, again, for our hub carriers, Terminals 1 and Terminal 3, United and American, to co-locate their flights out of the other international terminal.
Now, can you talk about a little bit about what else is going to go on at O'Hare? Because it's not just the new terminals that the runways made way for. But you're going to have some new roads in and out of there, right?
Yeah, we are working very closely with IDOT and our other CTA, as well as the tollway on both sides of our airports, looking at significant upgrades to the current configuration. We are in constant discussions with the Illinois Tollway on a bypass road that will significantly decrease the amount of traffic ultimately that comes through the front door of O'Hare, that I-190 entrance into O'Hare. And then further down the road, IDOT, as well as the tollway and the CTA and CDOT, as well as many other agencies cooperating, will work on a reconfiguration of that entire 294, I-190, 9094 juncture there. We remain committed as a partner to ensuring that that's delivered, that because that is absolutely sorely needed with the traffic congestion coming into O'Hare. So by those two points, creating a western bypass as well as the upgrades eventually of the front door, we believe that we'll address the congestion that is sometimes faced traveling public coming to O'Hare.
So you have to worry about what's on the ground as well as in the air.
Indeed.
What's for everything that we're talking about, what's the timetable for the next phase of O'Hare?
So again, those are constant communications, and elements of this will continue to come online. Like I said, Terminal 5, those first elements will be sometime next year when we get Delta moved in there, but we're doing new baggage systems and building a garage to accommodate the growth in domestic traffic over at Terminal 5, which, as you probably noted, was originally just to be an international terminal. We have repurposed it and currently use it for a few domestic flights, but it will become even more of a domestic/international terminal as we move forward. Also, this last month, or I think in July, we issued a concessions opportunity. You talked about what's inside the terminals available for businesses. And we have about 10 different locations, which include the majority of them are in Terminal 5, to actually have amenities for that new 350,000 square feet that we're adding to that existing footprint. So a lot of opportunities will continue there. We just went to City Council with some leases on some innovative new approaches to concessions. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the traveling public's habits change as a result of COVID. Perhaps some will not, and you're still going to want to make sure that you are providing both the sit-down options, both fast food options, and perhaps some of the, you know, garden grocer type things and vending machines that are coming out, really innovative, touchless options. Also, we have a Hudson on the Go that we opened up at Midway, which is one of those new kinds of shopping centers where you go in and you take the items that you want after registering, and you don't need to stop. It just automatically charges you as you leave. So, and then also the last element will be delivery at the gate. We also offer that option over at Midway now, and are looking to expand that service into O'Hare.
And let's talk about Midway. What is the future for Midway? We cannot leave out the city's other airport with its leisure travelers and others. So What are you doing at Midway, which I still think of as the airport that had to do the biggest pivot on 9/11 because they had just reconfigured everything, and that nice bridge out of the parking lot was your way to just walk to the gate, and now it's totally different.
And you're absolutely right. Midway was really impacted, especially right at first when you were taking equipment that it was not designed to be housed in that brand new facility that they had opened, and reconfiguring it and putting a lot of machinery, heavy machinery in there. So we are very thankful that we just finished the modernization of that checkpoint. It's an 80,000 square foot pavilion over Cicero Avenue, and it expanded the throughput. We also remember that we had significant delays going through Midway through the checkpoints several years ago. And this has really remedied that. We've taken the throughput from 2,500 people an hour to 5,000. So really upgrading those facilities. And it's absolutely beautiful. In addition, we worked on some terminal parking structure enhancements, some LED lighting and upgraded elevator control systems, as well as the exit revenue control systems for paying for tickets on your way out. So a lot of a lot of projects that really actually went to amenities for the passengers. And then we continue to work on the concessions redevelopment. That's been a significant investment by our partners, the Midway team over there. And they've opened about, I think, 30 locations out of 70. We just saw a brand new one open up in the baggage claim area, De Colores, which is one of our local vendors here, just opened up a coffee shop in the lower level baggage claim area. So we're going to continue to see new and exciting concession opportunities emerging over the next several years at Midway as well.
We have not, or back in the day, I guess, we talked a lot about things like noise and pollution when we were talking about airports. There has been less talk about it lately, and that's some of it. It has to do with all the other problems we're talking about. But does the fact that we aren't seeing as much attention mean that the problems are lessening, or what is happening on those fronts?
Absolutely not. We remain committed to being good neighbors at both of our airports, and have very robust sound commissions at both the ONCC, the O'Hare Noise Compatibility Commission, which is chaired by Chairman Annunzio, and then the Midway Noise Compatibility Commission, which is chaired by Chairman Baliga. Both meet regularly and discuss noise. We want to make sure that we are addressing it. You know, we've done a very robust, thanks to the FAA, a very robust sound insulation program, our residential sound insulation program, you know, putting in soundproofing for over 20,000 homes as well as schools at both O'Hare and Midway. The airfield reconfiguration, which we're very excited in completing this year with the extension of 9 Right, which is what we're celebrating, really paves the way for a balanced airfield with 3 northern runways, 3 southern runways, where we're able to balance that noise. We have a fly quiet program that's been in existence for 24 years, trying to reduce nighttime noise levels. We're in an interim configuration now, but ultimately we'll have a permanent one once the air traffic controllers have access to all of our runways, and we're able to work that through the ONCC, the different rotations. I will say that I think Chicago boasts of one of the only noise compatibility commissions that actually is weighing in on air traffic control patterns, and working with the FAA. They've been great partners, as well as the ONCC, on really working through what that might look like, a rotation schedule.
Does the system make adjustments because of public input like that? You must be hearing from neighbors sometimes about, wait, this isn't working for us.
Sure. And I think a lot of it is making sure that we educate the public on some of the measures that we've already done and all of the tools and resources that are available to them. But the purview of the noise is under FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. And so we work very closely with them as well in developing the noise contour map, which shows eligibility and how that map is produced. There was recently a study that was put out by the FAA seeking public comment from impacted homeowners. And we are working very closely with them to take whatever comes out of, ultimately whatever would come out of the FAA's research into this topic, we'll be happy to continue working with them. But I will say that we have been very involved and engaged with our neighbors and communities surrounding both of our airports.
That is Jamie Ree, Chicago's Commissioner of Aviation. And thank you so much for spending the half hour with us. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at WBBMNewsRadio.com. There should be a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 780 and 105.9 WBBM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.